Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley the morning after has been good enough to join us on Crunch Time. G'day, Bucks.
Yeah, right up.
Mate, what happened in that first quarter? Terry sort of explained what it's like to be a coach as it's sort of unravelling so quickly after all the planning of the week. Have you been able to put your finger on what actually happened?
Well, I've just finished coding the first 10 minutes, so what sort of mood do you reckon I'm in?
Right, I can't imagine it's a very flash one, to be honest.
The first three goals were kicked. We're obviously going in with our initial plans, and we weren't able to execute them well enough, didn't defend the way we wanted to defend, and were second to the ball. We put an extra number behind for the next two, and in many ways, we weren't able to execute that as well as we've practiced and planned. So 11 minutes into the game, we're five goals down. There's a bit of a hole to come back from, and you only have to miss out that 1 or 2% and not do the basics well, and Geelong took full toll.
So, Bucks, given that they were winning the centre bounce clearances, they made your defenders, who've been very good so far this season, they made them defend, do their craft in a one-on-one, and Tom Hawkins was very good. You say you then got a couple a man back after, what was it, the second goal or third goal?
After third, yeah.
Yeah, after the third goal. When do you actually address the centre bounce because it's heading one-way traffic? And what do you do? Do you send the message out to set up differently, or how do you, well, just choke it so it doesn't go forward at express?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you can't put extra numbers in the centre bounce. We had Penderbury Swan, Crispy's been our most effective centre bounce player, and with a couple of other handy types in there. It wasn't just centre bounce. We went inside 50 and had our chances. Jamie Elliott dropped a test mark first. It was a good contest by Buse, but in that first 30 seconds, so we had the first entry, but our defensive basics were poor, and we let it out of there, and there was a first goal kicked. We had our entries. We didn't take advantage of it, and we just weren't able to hold it up. And Hawkins in that first 10 minutes, he was absolutely dominant. Won every one-on-one.
Yep.
Broke tackles. Drew free kicks and took marks. So, I mean, that was pivotal and pivot being the point, because they were putting all of their offence through. It was obviously a strategy to go into the game with, get their numbers high, clear out the space around him, and then run off. And he won about four or five one-on-ones, which really provided that outlet for them between their back half and their front half when we were able to slow them. That was a good tactic, good planning by them, and they executed it well, and we weren't able to win the pivotal contest.
Bucks, you're spot on. I mean, when it was 31-2, it was only 10 inside forward 50s to 8, so there actually wasn't a lot of difference, really, between the forward entries. But it is the purest sense of the game, isn't it? I was over in Adelaide the other week when Hawthorn got blown away by Port Adelaide, and when it keeps coming back to the middle, it makes it so much more difficult to get any defensive structures sort of set up if they can control it through that area.
Yeah, well, I mean, when we put the seventh behind at the centre bounce after the third goal, Corey Enright took a chest mark in our forward 50 20 seconds later. So you've always got to give something to get something. There's an economy in that regard. We weren't able to slow the ball down or control our entries enough when we had a couple with that extra behind, and we just didn't get the balance right, and we didn't play as well or execute as well as we have in previous weeks. And there's a lesson there for us to learn. As the game keeps reminding us, if you're that 1 or 2% off, you're going to be out of the contest pretty quickly, and that's what eventuated.
There's always a balanced argument for everything. Frost starting on Hawkins, it was the purest part of the game where the ball was just getting in there very, very quick and clean. Obviously, that made it very difficult for Frosty. When Brown went there later, he seemed to be a better physical match, but you were back in control of a bit more of the game at that sort of stage. So how did you come up with the matchup, which way you were going to go? And given the light of the day, was it more about what was happening up the field, both early and late, with that matchup?
Oh, no, the matchup was changed, clearly, because Hawkins was the dominant player on the field, and and he was winning that contest. I mean, once you obviously the psyche of a footballer, once you start well as well, I'm sure Hawkins thought that he would have felt that he had Frosty's measure.
Yeah.
He was able to position himself on the field and in the contest well enough. And the flip side of it is that as a defender, when you've got knocked over in the first three or four one-on-ones, it does impact you. It takes a fair bit of resilience and drive to be able to fight through that. And you need the support of your teammates. But you know, we gave Frosty probably another 5 minutes. We had the conversation really early around, you know, do we change this? No, we'll give Frosty a chance to fight through it. Another five. Just looked to us like Hawkins had his tail up. We needed something. Frosty's been our best defender for the last 12 months. He's a young player that stood up. The last time we played Hawkins was his fifth game of AFL footy, and he did pretty well until late in that game, round three last year. But he's taken on all comers and done pretty well. And he was only a smidgen off, but it was enough for a very good player to take advantage of it last night.
Bucks, how much of it is a battle looking at Jesse White and seeing the promise there and the athleticism, and looking at Jesse White and thinking he's running to the wrong spots or he's misjudging the ball? How much is a battle that for you?
Everyone loves their whipping boys, mate, and there's a few out there, but no, we as a collective, we just weren't competitive enough last night.
Bucks, when you are sorting out who's going where in the box, and you got voices being thrown at you and somebody yells out Blitzars is running with Pendlebury, what's the first thing that goes through your head?
Pendlebury's just got his work cut out.
Why?
As far as getting away from Blitzars. I mean, clearly I thought our skipper was a little bit off to begin the game. And we just didn't find that synergy. We didn't... The first gives from ground level weren't there. Our ground level full stop. We overran a few ground balls that we'd normally take. Didn't stick tackles that we had been sticking. So, I mean, it's all those little things put together. Pendle's a very good player. We know he just finds a way and willed himself into the contest. But the Geelong just played better together. Blitzar's dangerous player in the fact that he can run to space. And the fact that he's 6'6" and he's going to give you an aerial threat. There was, I think it was Stevie J's goal early in that first quarter. You know, Blitzar's coming out of defensive mid and fumbled it, gave us a chance to go back the other way, but we couldn't clean up the ground ball. So he's not a perfect player. There's no perfect players in the AFL, but he runs hard and he was able to find the ball. A whole heap of the ball yesterday, especially in the first half, which was a credit to him.
Bucks, take us through the just the idea of bringing Jared Witts back into the side. I think Brody Grundy's been as good as nearly any ruckman in the competition up to this stage. They took Dawson Simpson out of their team. You bring another big bloke in. Can you run us through that?
So it was a big out for a big in. Corey Galt, he's done serviceably, but he's a forward who was pinch hitting in the ruck for us. And Galtie was playing his role well, but still really green and not taking full toll of his opportunities, which he's been biding his time down in the two. So he came in as a forward who was going to support Brody in the ruck. Right. So we were looking at a 60-40 mix through the ruck last night. If he's going to become the player that he wants to be, he needs to impact aerially better than he did last night. He created some opportunities and just probably first game in for the year, still getting a feel for it. I don't think we're any worse off forward, but we did discuss the fact that there's probably a shift in dynamic that we need to understand, address and explore. But we thought that Witchie would give us as much forward and provide even a little bit more support for Brody Grundy as well.
Watching the Magpies, and you mentioned Galt then, to me it looks like the way you coach with this forward line, it is incredibly important to have the right structure up there. Some teams love the chaos of running, six small ones through there at one stage, but you're quite pinned on a structure up there of two talls, maybe even the third ruckman, and he almost plays sub-key position in Elliott as well?
Yeah, look, we're very aware that we want to develop our list and that we're still exploring what our best footy looks like to him. So, I mean, the evidence of the last, season and a half suggests to us that we're more damaging offensively with the three tall structure forward. We actually defend better in pure terms insofar as inside 50s against of total score against. We defend better, so it's not as if we lose pressure around the contest that maybe logic would tell you, well, you may be missing out a little bit of ground level in their forward 50. The numbers would tell you that we're actually able to hold up really well because we've got potentially got better structure in our offence.
Can I interject you there then?
Yeah.
Does that mean you're moving away from Goldsack as the pressure forward? He hasn't played there for a while, but, gee, he was good for you last year when he was laying tackles and making havoc in there. Have you moved away from that, or is that still to come back at some stage?
Well, even with those three talls, we've had some times when Goldie's been the fourth forward and other times when he hasn't been in there at all. So, I mean, if we end up playing, Clark White with Grundy in the ruck and Goldsack's in there, well, then he's basically playing another small, we would say, a more forward role. And we need players to be able to impact on the scoreboard as well. And Goldie, whilst his pressure is excellent in that front half, wasn't taking his chances as a forward. Now he's remoulded himself in recent weeks as a defender, and we'll continue to look at that. But we need blokes to be able to hit the scoreboard as well as defend in that front half, and we'll keep looking for that eventuality. The second part of what you're asking about our tall forward structure is, Jared Witts and Brodie Grundy are both young ruckmen. We've both got the capacity to be very good in their ruck role. And we have a longer-term perspective. We want to develop both of those players. So in the short term, we understand that it might take us a little bit longer to find the right balance for those boys, but we're not forcing them in. They're both in good form, especially Brodie. But we need to find out how that looks for us, because I think they both need to play a lot of senior football together, and we're looking to make that work.
Bucks, a positive or bemusing the fact that you can be 10 goals behind and then kick 7-1 after that stage of the game? Is that, at least the boys are staying in the moment and they're not falling apart, or is it more bemusing about how you can get one lot at one stage of the game and then get the other lot at the other stage?
Yeah, well, the game goes for four quarters, 120 minutes. You're not going to win many games when you give the opposition the start that we did. And credit to Geelong, they came out well. But, I mean, looking back on it, it was as much... I thought they were up. I thought that Geelong were up. But I didn't realise how many little things and it's a general feel, how many little things that we left out there that we just didn't... The basics that we've been doing really well that we just didn't attend to. Once we got those basics right... Once we squared that up and started focusing on those little things and doing those little things well, it's no surprise why we were able to start controlling the game and playing the way we wanted to play. But it's pretty hard to dig yourself out of a hole, and so often when that happens, you see that spring back, which we saw that three late goals, which isn't you nearly could have written the script given that we flitted away some chances and worked so hard to try and work our way back in the game.
And Bucks, personally at your wit's end, I don't know whether you've still got strategies or things you haven't tried with Travis Cloke in terms of getting him to be a better converter, but, I mean, that was one of those ones that had he kicked that goal. Where do you go next with this? Because, he's what he is. I mean, he's an A-grade talent and a rare player in the competition who doesn't make the most of the opportunities that he creates for himself.
Yeah, look, we kick 5-8 with a one out of bounds and a full out of 14 shots. So we kick 5 goals from 14 set shots on goal, and they weren't wide. Some of them were from distance, but Clarkie's involved in that. Jesse White, Pendles himself, Jamie Elliott, and for balance, let's acknowledge that Geelong missed some set shots as well. I think they were 4-4 from 10. And they
third quarter.
From Mitch Clark. And they could have... I mean, but in that first half, we were battling for opportunities, especially through that late part of the first in the second quarter. We just needed to finish.
That's all true. And that's 100% right. And no one can, in their right mind can argue with that. But this has been habitual with Clokey. I mean, you know, from 55, he's a better chance than he is from 25. I don't know where the numbers...
That's what everyone says. So we keep repeating it and we keep hearing it. Clokey has got to improve his goal kicking. And he's putting a lot of work in. He couldn't put more work in. But the systems and processes we've got down there for him, we couldn't do any better. And could the 20 blokes that are going to write me letters this week just write them? Just know that they're going straight in the bin, because we've got everything we need. And in the end, the decision or the improvement's going to come from Clokey and in his own mind and in himself.
Yep.
And he wants to be better. And we understand that, and we'll give him every opportunity to.
I don't know whether Dunstall did. I don't know what happened 25 years ago, but is he allowed to go with a bloke and buckets of balls or bags of balls?
What do you reckon he's doing now?
Is he just allowed to have 125 shots at goal at the end of training? Or do the sports blokes, the science blokes, get in your way and say, Nathan, you know if you overload that left leg, he's going to break down?
That's an old school. It's such a new school, old school belief. I mean, if that's the best thing, we'll do it. Don't worry about the sports scientists or the coaching or whether one gets in the way or the other. I mean, we're one football program. We're one football program, and we find the best results or the best processes we possibly can for all of our individuals so that we can go and be better. And if that's Clokey having 400 shots on goal, then we'll do it. If he has to do handstands before he has a shot on goal, we'll do that. Can I rest the Collingwood people's minds assured? We're doing everything we possibly can for Clokey, for Jesse, for all our set shot stuff. And in the end, we're not infallible. He will miss goals, and potentially that's what we need to get to for Clokey. He's not going to kick every goal. He's not going to be 100%. So he's just got to let those go and then get to the next one. But, geez, we'd like him to kick those ones straight out in front. And you reckon the next one is out there that he's not going to be... He's got to be thinking just about the process and being able to put it through. And, yeah, we trust that we'll give him the best opportunity to do that.
Hey, Bucks, there's been 12,000 people late play league footy, and you're probably in the best two or three kicks there's ever been. How come you don't personally take him aside and say, I'm the coach, this is how I want you to kick? I mean, he's got a flawed action.
Well, you reckon we haven't tried that? Mate, go and have a look at my goal scoring XG wasn't great. So, I mean, and the question you're asking me, it's just the easy one, because, I mean, people watching are feeling exactly what we're feeling in the coach's box, what Clokey's feeling, what his teammates are feeling at times. And I said, geez, we'd love you to kick a few more of these, mate. But it's not for lack of effort. I'd say it's not for lack of care. And this bloke, he loves the club. He's a great leader. He drives his teammates. He's still improving. He's still learning about where he can have the most impact. And it's not for lack of effort, and we'll support him. And he gets a lot of focus, and potentially out I think too much, because it's a team game and we're all looking for reasons why this happened or that happened. I tell you, we lost the game on the weekend, last night, because too many of us ignored the basics of the game. Clokey was one of those, but he's not the bloke. He's not standing on his own.
Okay. You said you're doing everything. Have you tried ringing Andrew Dunkley or Jack Daniels? Maybe someone like that might see them kick and think, I've got to do the opposite.
I will say, Doomy, the other thing is if you do 100 things over 100 days, you don't get anywhere.
You get nothing.
So we're committed to the program we've got. We haven't got our heads in the sand thinking that this is the only way, or there's not only one method that we're looking at, but you need to find out which variable is not working. You need to have consistency. So we're working through it.
Yeah, the number one thing is that there is a fear factor for opposition teams. No matter how the bloke kicks it, if they are conceding marks to Collingwood inside Collingwood's 25, there's a fear factor there that no other team's going to get over.
Yeah, well, potentially. I mean, Clokey's got some real strengths and assets to us, and we're sharing the ball inside 50. It's not just...
Yeah.
He's not their only damaging target. We had quite a few boys that weren't able to be as effective as we'd like them to, and if you're kicking 8 goals a game, you're not going to win many games of footy.
Bucks, it's about who's out there, but just for Collingwood supporters, how are blokes like Steele Sidebottom coming along, Levi Greenwood, Paul Seedsman obviously out of the side last night, and Reedy, where's he at still?
Yeah, look, we've got a few out. Plough, as a lot of other sides have, we felt like we were getting a little bit skinny over the week and in selection, but we still expect the depth of our list to come up and be able to play roles. Steele's probably a couple of weeks away. He only just got the thumb guard off. Reedy, we expect to be right to play next week. And as we know, we've been very open with his situation, and he's going through an issue with his body because he's had calf disruption, hammy disruption, quad disruption in the time since Christmas, or since going to Germany. So it's not one thing with Reedy. It's a soft tissue issue that we're trying to fix and trying to get him strong enough. So, but he's done a power of work. Levi's going to be. He's weight bearing now, doing some running. So I know we're conservatively, 3 to 4 weeks.
Yep.
We don't know exactly how long that'll take to get back. Jackson Ramsey, we're not sure with his shin. Maybe next week. Paul Seedsman, potentially, probably next week. But as I say, we need to get some boys back, so we've got a little bit more depth in our selection and opportunities.
Mate, we'll let you get back to coding that game through gritted teeth. We really appreciate you joining us on the show today. Thanks for your time, mate.
Cheers. Thanks, boys.
Nathan Buckley, Collingwood coach.